Thank you, Lord.
In 2016 abo ori bo wa laye o wa laye sese olorun ko se ogun e lo mu e wa laye osubare re o
osubare re o oba ta ori
ta ori
ta ori se owo re osubare re o
mimo mimo
osubare
Hallelujah.
shout. Father, the preserver of our lives, on behalf of every individual here today, we bring our heart of thanksgiving and gratitude and appreciation for your innumerable goodnesses to us. Lord, on behalf of every individual here, receive our praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
On behalf of every family represented here, families that you deliver their eyes from tears, you deliver their feet from falling. The breadwinner was not buried in 2016. The mother of the house was not mourned. The children of the house were preserved. Father, receive the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
On behalf of every career here, they pay salary, they didn't pay salary. You did not allow us to be hungry. They paid total salary or part salary. You did not allow our nakedness to be seen. You did not allow the world to ask, where is their God? We return and give you thanks. Lord, receive the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
On behalf of every career that the enemy wanted to truncate and destroy and cast down, we come because you fought for us. You give us victory. You shame the enemy. You turn the counsel of the enemy to foolishness. Lord, receive the glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
On behalf of every business here, they say, oh, the nation is very hard. No contract, no business, nothing is working. But your grace worked for us. Your name worked for us. You supplied all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we lay it to heart to thank you. Lord, receive the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
On behalf of every altar, every altar of Christ's life church, the enemy wanted to quench the light of Israel, wanted to remove the candlestick out of his place. But you have given us your promise that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you did not allow the gate of hell to prevail. And we acknowledge that it is not by our might nor our power. It's not by our wisdom. It is your doing. Lord, receive the glory in Jesus' name. On behalf of the entire Christ-like church family, we have seen your goodness like never before. We saw you move in our midst. You did not allow a hunger of the word, a famine of the word. You did not allow the famine of the word to hit us. You give us meat in due season, and we celebrate you. Lord, receive our praise in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, we are not lamenting that we do not see our signs, and where are the prophets? Lord, you have given us grace. You have positioned your prophetic and apostolic grace in our midst, and we see our signs from time to time, the sign of your voice, the sign of your love, the signs of your grace, the signs of your mercy, and we are not taking it for granted. Father, we return to thank you. Receive the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
For all the good things you have done, thank you. For the voice of singing that has rung up to your throne in this house today, Lord, thank you. For the young, thank you. For the old, thank you. For the male, thank you. For the female, thank you. For the daddies, thank you. For the mommies, thank you. For the children, thank you. For the pastors, thank you. For the deacons, thank you. For the deaconesses, thank you. For the workers, thank you. For the members, thank you. For our bishops, thank you. For our families, thank you. We praise your name. We worship your name. Be glorified forever. Thank you, Father. And we know we who have done it this year, we will do it again next year. In the land of the living. Thank you, precious Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
My 2017 shall be glorious. Say it louder. Say in the name of Jesus. My 2017 shall be glorious. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For quite some weeks now, maybe like 8 weeks, the hand of the Lord had been very, very, very strong on me. Very. And I don't say that lightly because I know what that means before God. And one area of attention that the Lord was directing my heart is a need for revival in Christ-like church. It's a very, very serious and urgent need for revival. On the 25th of November, after the night vigil, I met with my pastors. They will remember, at a restaurant. And that was the number one concern of my heart. See, when there is revival, people are very passionate about their love for God. I'd like you to take note. There are indices of revival. When there's revival, people are very, very passionate about their love for God. They love Him with passion. They are ready to do anything for Him. They're ready to go any distance. They're ready to go any length. They're ready to sacrifice anything. They put Him first and His kingdom over and above all their petty agenda, all their petty program. God comes first. And they are very serious about it. And because God sees that they are very passionate in loving Him, and they come first, and He comes first, He blesses them. They don't take God for granted. In revival, there is awe for God. There is reverence for God. When there is revival, you don't stand before God carelessly, or sit before God carelessly, or take God for granted, or take His word for granted, or take His grace for granted, or take His anointing for granted. No, there's a fear of God. And I'm not talking of slavish fear. I'm talking of reverential fear. People love God. When there's revival, people are very eager to go to the house of God. Eager. Psalm 121 verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Put it on the screen. Revival is a new beginning of obedience. When people's hearts are in a state of revival, their obedience to God is complete. They obey Him with joy and gladness. Because they know that is where the blessing is. When people are in a state of revival, they pray. The spirit of revival is a spirit of prayer. And I'm not talking of noise. I'm talking of prayer. I'm not talking of something casual. You are opening your eyes, you are greeting everybody, you are seeing everybody, and you claim you are praying, and you are speaking some funny tongues. No. People carry a prayer burden. And they pray through, and their prayer makes a difference. Serious prayer. Prayer with tears. Prayer that shakes the kingdom of darkness. As in revival. When people are in the state of revival. When people are in the state of revival, there is passion for souls. They don't see men as trees. They see them as people. And they feel a burden to reach out to them and preach the gospel to them. In revival, the people in revival, they don't just preach the gospel, they lead people to Christ. You don't just talk. No. You don't just preach for preaching's sake. Let me preach so I can pacify my conscience. No. You are driven by an inner passion to lead people to Christ. You are insistent. You are prayerful. You talk to them. You don't give up until they give their lives to Christ. When it's time to witness, you are excited. As people in revival, you don't dodge it. You don't run away. You don't explain it away. When that's revival. And you are persistent unto people give their lives to Christ. Please sit down. When people are in a state of revival, they love the brethren genuinely. Genuinely. Revival does not give room for unforgiveness, does not give room for bitterness, does not give room for competitive jealousy, keeping malice, keeping grudges. No. They don't belong in revival. When people are in a state of revival, they are ready to reconcile. They bring their gifts to the altar and they remember that they have an oath against somebody. They leave their gifts there and they go. They say, bro, I'm sorry. The other time you were talking to me, I didn't react very well. I didn't respond very well. And I hated you. Please forgive me. That's revival. They extend the love that they have for God to his people. It's a matter of, if you love me, you love my dog. You don't claim you love God and you harbor bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred in your heart against any brother. No, revival does not accommodate it. When people are in the state of revival, they give to God with joy. First, they give of themselves to the Lord. And then they give their substance. They don't care. They don't care. They don't look at what is left. They give everything. They are very willing to spend and be spent for Christ. Not because they are forced, no. Not because they are coerced, no. Not because they are commanded, no. But because the love of Christ constrains. The constraint is from inside. The fire is burning from inside. When people are in a state of revival, they are very hungry for the word of God. They're very hungry for his word. They're very serious about his word. They don't treat his word casual. Oh no, never, never. They're very eager to receive the word of his mouth. They pay attention to his word, whatever he says. And they don't just pay attention, they do it. People that are in the state of revival, they know it is not the hearer of the word that is blessed, but the doer of the word. So they are very eager to receive the word of the Lord. Like Job, they consider the word of God more, they value it more than their necessary food. More than their necessary food. When we got born again in the early 70s, those that were following us up, they told us that our motto should be no Bible, no breakfast. They're eager for the word. And they don't just read it. They do it. They share it with others. When people are in revival, they serve the Lord with eagerness. And they're not serving the Lord because they are compelled to. They serve him because they love him. They are ready to do anything. They're ready to pay any price. They're ready to wake up in the night. They're ready to run to the house of God, clean the floor. They're ready to do the dirtiest job for the Lord. They don't consider any service beneath their dignity. No. They do it with joy because they're doing it for the Lord. When people are in a state of revival, they walk worthy of their calling. Pastors occupy their office with dignity. They take responsibility for their assignment and they do it. They care for the people of God with the heart of a shepherd. They identify the responsibility of their office and they pay whatever price to make sure it is done. When people are in a state of revival, they are very conscious. They live in a state of consciousness that one day they are going to give an account to God. So they don't do anything with eye service as men pleasers. They do everything in the sincerity of their heart, pleasing God alone. So I can go on and say some other things. I've not opened the scripture. Maybe I've referred to one or two scriptures. Pastors among you, you find out what scripture fits in there. Fits in there. Maybe I quoted Psalm 121. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. That was David in the state of revival. The fire was burning. He loves God with passion. Love God. Psalm 132. Say, remember David, your servant. How he swore by the mighty God of Jacob that I will not give sleep to my eyes. I will not go to the bed of my house until I prepare a place. When people are in a state of revival, everything, somebody say everything. Let me hear you. Louder. You're not talking. Everything else comes secondary. Everything comes secondary. The love for their husband comes secondary. The love for their father comes secondary. The love for their mother comes secondary. Commitment to their work comes secondary. God first in everything. They live out the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, that if you love your father more than me, you are not worthy of me. You love your wife more than me, you are not worthy of me. You love anything. You love your very life more than me, you are not worthy of me. It is the people that live like that, because they stick out their necks for God. God will always stick out his neck for them all the time. One day, I was coming out of my house. We had prepared for God's Endowment Conference. This was in 1990. We spent 18 months prepared for that meeting. We have mobilized the whole country, everywhere. The team were already on ground. We were to do the meeting in Redemption Camp. It was our meeting. We prayed, we fasted. And then I was going to go earlier, one day earlier, so I could supervise what was going on. I stepped out of my house, and a messenger came to announce that my dad was sick and was in the hospital, that they have rushed him to the hospital. Huh? He loved me very passionately. I can't tell whether he loved me more than his three surviving children. He had 8 children. Only 3 of us survived. But he loved me. And was the greatest influence of my childhood life. We had a lot of bonding. In the village, we would sit around the mat to eat together. And among all the others, when he ate his meat, he won't finish it. He will throw it to me under the plate in a way that the others may not catch it. So it was like that. And I loved him. I stood there, whether to make a detour, go to the hospital, or go on this assignment, people are waiting for me. And I had to oscillate. And I made a choice. I said, Lord, I put my father in your hand. Even if I go, you are the only one that can take care of him. If I go, he can still die. If I don't go, he can die. You first. Take care of my dad. And I left. I prayed. I left. I didn't know it was a test. How many of you want God to promote you? I want you to keep their hands up. You know what? There is no promotion without test. And many times you won't know it's a test. Abraham did not know it was a test when God demanded for his Isaac. He didn't know. May you pass God's test. God is so principled, put that in your hand. God is so principled about promotion in his kingdom. You don't pass his test, you repeat the class. There's no begging. No. There's no begging. You don't pass his test because where he's promoting you to, there are certain demands there. Something about your character, about your competence, about commitment, that if you don't have the requisite qualification, everything in that place will fail. The people that are great in the kingdom, they don't just become great. God tests them. They pass. And then tests them again. They pass. And each time you pass God's test, you rise. Today, you will rise. Yeah. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. So I said, Lord, I commit my daddy to your hand. And I went. Each day, I was praying for him. There was no GSM. And at that time, there was no telephone in Redemption Camp. I didn't get any information until 5 days after I came back. I met my father in my house. Healthy and strong. And I was giving glory to God. And I heard God spoke to me, you just passed my test. I was checking up who is more important in your life. I didn't see it that way. Is it not legitimate for me to say, okay, ministry work or caring for people or this? Sit down. I'm going to see my father. It was a test. God was checking out who comes first between Isaac and himself in the life of Abraham. Isaac was his legitimate child. But God wanted to know where his affection lie. When people are in a state of revival, nothing comes first except God. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. And please, if we are going to be honest, check yourself. Everybody, pastor, senior pastor, just check it up. And be very sincere. To thyself, be true. When you had a choice between doing the will of God and doing your own thing, which comes first? When you had the choice between giving it to God and spending it, what comes first? When you had the choice between rising up early and being at the house of God to do something and just dragging a little bit and you give an excuse and you run to your place of work, what comes first? And ladies and gentlemen, it's your attitude that will determine your altitude. How far you're going to go with God is determined by your attitude. And I want us to use this season or the 21 days of prayer and fasting and this season of the Zoe to reorganize our thinking, reorganize our attitude, and place God and his kingdom first, and then see what God will do. Develop the right attitude to God, who gave you breath, who gave you life, who gave you that job, who made you to qualify for that job, who has done everything for you. We need to go back and seek the face of the Lord. It's a matter that had given me concern for weeks. I thought after sharing with the pastors on the 25th of November, I was going to be done. I wasn't. I've been praying. Look at the book of Ezekiel. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. Somebody please repeat. Say, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Louder. Say, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That's a vintage mark of the ministry of a prophet. There's a difference between the ministry of a pastor and a prophet. There's a difference between the ministry of a teacher and a prophet. There's a difference between the ministry of an evangelist and a prophet. There are certain things that mark the ministry of a prophet. Let me tell you five of them very quickly. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, you can write it down. The prophet enjoys open heaven. God opens the heaven to the prophet so he can see what others don't see. He can hear what others don't hear. Number two, the prophet sees the visions of God. You see it in Ezekiel 1, verse 1 to 3. The heavens were open unto me, and I saw the vision of the Lord. Number three, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. The living word. Sometimes when he's reading the scripture, Sometimes when he's praying, sometimes he's not even doing anything spiritual. About 2 weeks ago, I was in London. I was in UK just 2 weeks ago. And the music was on, worship was on. And one of my sons was doing preliminary teaching before I came up. I wasn't thinking about this man of God at all. I was not. When the Lord brought him to me, I was seated. Music, exhortation, my notes before me, going to preach, and God interrupted and was speaking to me about a man who is in Nigeria. It was very clear. I picked my pen. I noted some things down. After the meeting, I went on to pray because I knew God wanted me to speak, to get a message. By divine arrangement, I didn't want to tell him about it. I was flying to Abuja. I wanted to pick a different note. I picked that jotter. So when I settled in the air, I was opening, and the Lord said, "That's it. Write it out and send it to him." Now I knew if I didn't, I'll be disobedient. So I wrote it. By the time we're landing in Abuja, I'd finished. I sent it to him. But I took it to him. 3 days after, he called me. He said, "That's a very heavy one." I went to analyze it before the Lord, and there were 75 promises there for me. "Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir." I said, "Thank you, sir." As I dropped the phone, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that I sent that message to him to prepare him for his 75th birthday. 75 promises. I didn't know. He was one who analyzed it. So I called him back. I said, "Sir, this is what the Lord said. 75 promises for a 75th birthday." He said, "Now I understand. Thank you, sir." And I wasn't thinking about him at all. It was the hand of the Lord. The word of the Lord came plenty. And if you read that verse 3, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me there." I shared this testimony here before. 1985, I was preaching at University of Benin, their Ekenwa campus. The Ubowo campus is the one on the highway. I preached there a couple of times before then. And then Ekenwa campus was inside the College of Medicine. And after preaching that morning, I was praying for people, for healing. And this young man stood before me, and I laid my hands, prayed for him. "Receive your healing in the name of Jesus." And I sent him back. And I was going. As he was approaching his seat, I saw a quick vision. Saw the same man wearing the same clothes with something that looked like a bloated frog by the right side of his head. And I knew prophetically that he was having some mental problem. And it was not a case of healing, it was a case of deliverance. When you have a case of deliverance and you are praying for healing, you are wasting your time. Until the demon goes, the healing will never take place. The moment the demon goes, the healing is automatic. So I asked an usher to bring him back. And he came back. And I pointed my finger to that right side of his head. I wanted the demon to know that I knew it was there. Jesus said, "And if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." I said, "You that foul spirit, I rebuke you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You don't belong there. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Get out." And the young man shouted. That was the end of affliction. That's the ministry of a prophet. Administer to him as a teacher, I taught. Administer to him as an evangelist. I prayed. The affliction didn't go. He was already going back to his seat. And then the prophetic kicked in. And the Lord opened my eyes to see unseen battles. Somebody listen to me. Unseen battles going on in the spirit realm, afflicting his life. His parents thought it was a medical case. All the medical thing didn't affect it. But when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see the hidden forces of darkness that were making his life miserable, then the hand of the Lord, the word of the Lord, cut it off. And he was free. Somebody is listening to me now. In whatever way the enemy has been hiding to afflict your life, today I cut it off. Amen. The word says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Today, receive your liberty. Amen. I was visiting Adeoye Hospital, Ring Road. A relation of mine was sick. And I went to visit him. And it was going towards the evening, like around about this time. Spent some time with him, prayed for him, and I was coming out. I was going to the park together with my driver. I think it was Pastor Lika Kendele. And this gentleman ran out of me. Daddy. We're already getting a little dark. Not very dark. Daddy. I look back. He had his stethoscope hanging around his neck. I knew he's a doctor. He said, Daddy, can you remember me? I said, not quite. It's okay. Can you remember a Part 4 medical student that was brought to you in your office in chains? In so year. I said, yes, I remember. The mother came. The grandmother came. Mommy will remember this case. His sister came. Everybody was crying. Nobody knew what went into him. He just went berserk. Was it Part 4? Medical is there, and he just broke down mentally. He was playing with some drugs. And then he opened the door for the devil to come in. I said, okay, lose him. And the mother said, he's very violent. He has attacked everyone in there. I said, I'll lose him. When the dog is mad, he knows the owner. I said, follow me. I took him to the office. And by the finger of God, cast out that demon. God showed me clearly it was not a mental affliction. It was a demonic affliction. The mental affliction, we respond to the psychiatrist. The demonic affliction, all the psychiatrists in this world, we do everything. They will give the strongest injection, like Lagathiel and all those stuff, and the guy will still be wild. Because the demon was still there. We cast that demon out. And we covered that guy with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I led him to Christ in my office. And he told me the story. He said, I am that young man. My joy knew no bound. I said, come on, give me a hug. Give me a hug. That was the ministry of a prophet. When the man of God comes under the hand of the Lord, there is nothing is impossible. Today, every one of you that have had the call and have come here, today, you are going home with a major miracle. Yeah. Now, listen to this. If this is all I do today, fine. Good job. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, and the hand Ezekiel 37. Okay, this one. And the hand of the Lord was upon me. That's God wanting to use his prophet for the supernatural. The supernatural does not happen by might. If the hand of God does not do it, it cannot be done. Forget it. The supernatural is by the hand of God. And look, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. Wow. So the man was not in control anymore. It was the spirit of God carrying him. He wasn't going where he wanted to go. The spirit of God was making him to do, to go where he wanted to go, and to say what God wanted him to say. The hand of God was upon him and carried him. And look at this, carried him and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Look at this. The hand of the Lord came on me. He carried me out in the spirit. He set me down. God took total control of his servant because he wanted to do the supernatural. Don't make any mistake. During Zoe, the uncommon will happen. Make sure you don't miss it. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Dry bones. Now, we're talking of human bones. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. When you see human bones, what does that suggest? Huh? Death had taken place. True of us. In fact, death had taken place for a while. Because all the tissue, everything had gone. Everything was gone. The bones were scattered. Dead, dry, hopeless. Dead, dry, scattered, disorganized. There is no hope of coming together. This was a scenario a man cannot fix by his strength. Now, I'd like somebody to get ready. What you have not been able to fix, doctor have not been able to fix, men have not been able to fix, something extraordinary will happen to you today. Amen. By the mercy of God, I'm standing in my office, I'm leaning on my staff. I told you the hand of God had been on me for some time now, and I've been giving me some pictures. And let's see what we'll see. And you see, look at what happened here. The hand of God moved him. And he said unto me, verse 3, I told you one of the marks of a prophet, the word of the Lord comes to them. One of the marks of a prophet, prophets intercede. Ah. There is no prophet without intercession. It's not possible. It's why they spend quality time in the presence of God, that divine secrets are revealed to them. There is no prophet without intercession. They are ace intercessors. They are the one that God wants. Come, Pastor Jesse. They're the one that God will want to wipe out the whole of Israel. Want to wipe them out. And they hold God by his hand and say, don't do it. Your Almighty, don't do it. Remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, please, for your name's sake, don't do it. He said, leave me alone. God was telling Moses, leave me alone. Let me destroy these people. And I will make out of you a greater people. He said, no, you can't do it. Prophets are very selfless. Very selfless. And the Bible says God changed his mind. They're the one that make God change his mind through intercession. They just stay in his presence and say, God, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. If they can make God change his mind through intercession, they easily frustrate the works of the devil through intercession. Whatever way the enemy had been afflicting you, today it is frustrated. Maybe the enemy had been touching your life, touching your family since January, and you have been struggling. Through the rod of the Lord, we break the hand of the devil. Receive your liberty in the name of Jesus. You see, the man, the word of the Lord came to him and he said, can these bones live? Can these bones live? These bones, skull here, femur here, fibula here, phalanges all over that place, scattered. We don't even know which one belongs where. And this one is impossible. It's impossible. And then you look at God. Ah, you are God. Job 42, verse 2. You are God. What I see is not possible for any human being. But you are God. I know that thou can do everything. Raise your right hand. Say, Father.
Father.
I know. You can do everything. Wait a minute. Is there a hopeless case somewhere? Everybody listen to me. Is there a dry bone somewhere? The hope is gone. Gone. If you read this scripture, let me jump a little bit as he come back. If you read in from verse 12, so you know what this dry bone is like. Look at this scripture, Ezekiel 37, verse 12. Hear what God says. All right, Ezekiel 37, 12. All right. Okay. Go to verse 11. Thank you. You are right. Then said he unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. My senior pastor, hear me. At the place of intercession, I was praying for Christ like church. That's what God told me about us. If you look at many lives, it's dry bones. You look at many of our altars, dry bones. Many of our businesses, dry bones. Dry bones. He said, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. Ah! For God had done it before. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. There was no hope for Abraham. No hope. It was 99. Wife, 90. They call him dry tree. By the time God was giving him a promise, he was going to be a father of many nations. Isaac was not there. No hope. I don't know what you're planning to do. And you look at your bank account. No hope. Look, you look at your pay. In your place of work, where they pay you half the salary, one quarter the salary, no quarter of the salary, nothing. No hope. But against hope, you can dare to believe the one who is God. He said, our hope is lost. We're cut off for our part. Verse 12. He now said, therefore, prophesy unto them. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Whatever represents a grave in your life, God will open your graves. There shall be resurrection. Somebody say resurrection. Louder. 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 If you are receiving it, shout amen.
Amen.
Go back to verse 6. Verse 6. Now, look at how resurrection comes. Okay, go back. But verse 4 now. Verse 4. Thank you. Thank you. I want to point something out to the house of Christ Life Church. Is it verse 4? Okay, go to 3. Sorry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? They look hopeless, dry, empty. And I answered, Oh Lord God, thou knowest. As far as I am concerned, these bones are hopeless. But as far as you are concerned, there is nothing you cannot do. Lift up your hand, say, Father,
Father,
I know.
There is nothing
you cannot do.
Is there a dry bone somewhere?
Is there a lost hope somewhere? Even in the dying days of this year, God will give you a resurrection.
Amen.
Your dry bones shall rise again.
Amen.
We have 14 more days to go. If you can't today, 14 more days to go. What you've not been able to do in 14 years, in the next 14 days, God will do it for you.
Amen.
Your dry bones shall rise.
Amen.
Shall rise.
Amen.
Supernaturally.
Amen.
Supernaturally.
Amen.
I don't care where you are going for contract, and nothing happened. I decree dry bones rise again.
Amen.
I don't care what has happened to your business. No patronage. I decree dry bones rise again.
Amen.
In the next 14 days, you will see the amazing hand of the Lord.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I want to now tell you something. House of Christ Life Church, listen to this. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Prophesy. Somebody say prophesy.
Prophesy.
Louder.
Prophesy.
Louder.
When
God wants to make the dry bones come alive, he sends his word. Be careful not to miss your portion turns away. I told you God had been working on me. It is the word of the Lord that brings dry bones to come alive. When you miss your word, you miss your destiny. When you miss your word, you miss your resurrection. It's a prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Verse 5. He said, Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, it is God speaking to the bones that brings the bones alive. It is God reaching to the bones. When the bones miss the word, they remain dry and dead. When the word of the Lord hits the bone, they come alive. Your dry bones will come alive. Your dry bones will come alive. Somebody prophesy, say in the name of Jesus, my dry bones shall come alive. That's revival. That's a revival. When the word of God ignites somebody again and passion arises, fire comes, zeal comes, prayerfulness, dedication. The dry bones come alive. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, on this one, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Who? You wouldn't just exist. A wall came cups. You will live. Abundant life. Zoe. Zoe. The life of God. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. Verse 6. 6. And I will lay sinew upon you and I will bring flesh upon you. Somebody say restoration.
Restoration.
Hear me. When revival begins, everything that was lost are restored. Remember the bones? They are dead. Flesh was there before, went. Sinew went. But when the world begins to come, the dry bones come alive, and there was restoration. I want to decree over the next 14 days, whatever the enemy has stolen from you shall be restored.
Amen.
Fully restored.
Amen.
Totally restored.
Amen.
Completely restored.
Amen.
Not by your struggle, by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Is that, and God said, I will cover you with skin. Cover. Huh? So God covers people. Pastor Kende, when God covers you, your nakedness cannot be seen. When God covers you, then you are beautiful. Nobody will see your ugliness. Nobody sees your shame because God has covered you. He said, I will cover. How many of you want God to cover you? Huh? When God covers you, the critical area of your life, the critical area of your need are addressed without you having to beg anybody. It's God that covers you. Today, tomorrow, throughout Zoe, for the rest of this year, the God of glory, he will cover you.
Amen.
With beauty.
Amen.
With glory.
Amen.
With honor.
Amen.
Take Ruth, for example. She was a Moabitess, a Gentile. She suffered the misfortune of losing her husband at a young age. She became a young widow. It's a very terrible experience. Ask any widow. To lose your cover is a terrible experience. Particularly, you are young, the children are young. In this case, there was even no child at all. And Orpha, her sister-in-law, had left. She stayed. Ruth Abokoku, she stayed with her mother-in-law. Your God will be my God. She was very faithful. God rewards faithfulness. At a point in time, God said, it is time to cover my daughter. According to Ruth chapter 2 verse 1, there was a mighty man of wealth by name Boaz. And God used Boaz to provide a cover for Ruth. Oh, her reproach was covered. Her shame was covered. The reproach of her widowhood covered. The reproach of barrenness covered. Out of that cover came Obed. Out of that cover came Jesse. Out of that cover came King David. When God covers you, something supernatural comes out. Out of that cover came Jesus, thou son of David. Rapakaida. Today, tomorrow, Tuesday, the next 14 days, God will cover you. In the area of your vulnerability, he will cover you. In your health, he will cover you. In your finances, he will cover you. You will be far from shame. You'll be far from shame. After God might have visited you, nobody will see your shame again. They will see your beauty. They will see your glory. They will see your honor. In the name of Jesus, lift your hand to God. Say, Father, cover me with your glory, with your power, with your blessing. The same way you covered Ruth, Father, cover my nakedness. Cover my nakedness. Cover my nakedness. Can you pray that? Pray that prayer. When God covers you, the enemy cannot say, where is your God? God, silence the enemies in my life and cover me. Silence the adversaries in my life and cover me. silence the evil ones in my life and cover me. I look up unto you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Oh Lord my God, I look up unto you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Lord, cover me. Father, cover me. Father, cover me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. He will cover you. Amen. He will silence the mouth of your enemies. Amen. He will not allow them to ask, where is your God? Amen. Instead of shame, they will see your glory. Amen. Instead of reproach, they will see your beauty. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. That's a mark of a genuine prophet. He won't speak except what has been commanded. He won't speak out of his mind. Would declare only what God told them to do. That's why God confirms their words. He doesn't let their word fall to the ground. But they are not just speaking their own word. They are speaking the word that God puts in their mouth. I want to warn the house of Christ like church. God has given me a certain word for you. Through Azoe. You will begin to take your portion from tonight.
Amen.
There is nobody who believes the word of the Lord I'm bringing tonight that will go home empty.
Amen.
You will go with a great blessing.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Look at this. So I prophesied. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bones. God will be rearranging destinies. God will be connecting people. God will be, wait a minute. God will be connecting people with what the critical thing that they have lost. Critical thing that they have lost. The one that lost his arm. The arm is connected. The one that lost the leg connected. The one that lost the head connected. Bones coming together. A rearrangement of destinies. Here is a young man, 42, single, not married. And the word of the Lord came. And within a short time, a beautiful lady comes and says, yeah. This is the bone of my bone. He's a young lady. I tried to befriend men. Men I tried to befriend. No relationship, nothing. And he's in her 30s. And the bones coming together. In the remaining 14 days of this year, your bones will come together.
Amen.
Whatever is out of order in your life, whether spiritually, it shall be restored.
Amen.
Physically, it shall be restored.
Amen.
Mentally, it shall be restored.
Amen.
Career-wise, it shall be restored.
Amen.
Emotional-wise, it shall be restored.
Amen.
Finance-wise, it shall be restored.
Amen.
Nothing missing.
Amen.
Nothing lacking.
Amen.
Nothing broken.
Amen.
All things complete.
Amen.
Complete restoration.
Amen.
Somebody shout, I receive it. And when I beheld, Lord, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, restoration. And the skin covered them.
Oh,
covered. But there was no breath in them. There was a need for a second touch. That's the state of many of us. We're not dead. The people that are not born again are the ones that are dead. And no fire, no zeal, no drive. Everything drags. There's a need for a second touch. Look at this. Then said he unto me, verse 9, prophesy unto the wind of life, the wind of grace, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Revival, Pastor Kainde, is when the Spirit answers to the word. That's revival. When the Spirit answers to the word. Revival cannot come by word alone, cannot come by Spirit alone. The Spirit must answer to the word. Prophesy unto the winds, O man, and say to the winds, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that he may live. Four winds. Four winds. Four winds. The Bible talks of the east wind. That was what blew, and the Red Sea gave way. The Bible talks of the east wind again. It blew, and quails came. So there is a wind from the four corners of the earth. Over the next 14 days that remain this year, the wind from the four corners of the earth will blow in your favor. The wind of favor. The wind of honor. The wind of breakthrough. The wind of remembrance. The wind of abundance. The wind of wealth. I command the wind to blow in your favor. Blow in your favor. Blow in your favor. When the wind blows, whatever needs to be removed must be removed. Whatever needs to be deposited must be deposited. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. And look at this. So I prophesy. Oh, listen to this. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. The breath came to them, they lived. Somebody declare, I shall live the abundant life. Now declare, say, I shall live like God wants me to live. They lived and they stood on their feet. Standing off your feet means taking your place of responsibility. Taking your place in the army of God, ready to serve. Revival does not come to those who don't want to serve. When the wind of revival blows on you, there's the eagerness to love God, eagerness to serve God, eagerness to take your place. You stand. You stand to serve. You stand to pray. You stand to bless. You stand to give. You stand to make a difference. You stand to chase the enemy away. You stand. You're not idle in the marketplace. You take your place. A mighty amen. I have good news for you. I want all the senior pastors in Christ Life Church, hear this. May God bring his word to pass. And the Lord spoke to me that he will cause his word to come upon our dry bones. And that Christ Life Church will become a mighty army. A mighty army. A mighty army. A mighty army. A Christ Life Church will live. We will not just exist. When you get to a city, you know the church that lives. You don't need to be told. You don't need to be told. A time in this city of Ibadan, that when anybody gets to Ibadan and asks for which one is the church, the first one they will talk about is Christ Life Church. any witness in the house. We taught them how to publicize. We taught them to get on the media. We taught them to... We taught them. A church that is alive is making a difference. A church that is alive is noted everywhere. A church that is alive is respected. Respected. Everybody wants to be a part of it. And they shall live and become a mighty army. Not just an army. Christ Life Church, you shall live. Amen. I prophesy unto you. Come alive. Amen. 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 Every dry bones, come alive. Amen. Every dry bones, come alive. Amen. Every dry bone, come alive. 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 Every dry bones, come alive. Every dry bone, come alive. In the mighty name of Jesus. Stand on your feet. Wherever you are, lift your right hand to God. Say, Father, let your wind blow upon my life. Let my dry bones come alive again in the name of Jesus. Can you begin to pray? Every dry bone in my life, come alive. Every dry bone in my life, hear the word of the Lord. Every dry bone in my life, hear the word of the Lord. Come alive. Come alive. No room for deadness. No room for hopelessness. No room for dryness. No room for being locked in a grave. Dry bones, come alive. Dry bones, come alive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You will now begin to prophesy. The dry bones of my health, I command, come alive. Dry bones of my career, I command, come alive. Dry bones of my business, I command, come alive. Dry bones of my family, I command, come alive. Dry bones of my finances, I command, come alive. Dry bones of my spiritual life, begin to prophesy upon every dry bones. Command your dry bone to come alive. Lift your voice like a trumpet and call the dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, come alive. Now, dry bones, come alive. Now, don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. The dry bones of depths, makabo kudaka, receive the life of God. The dry bones of ill health, receive the life of God. The dry bone of dysfunctional family, receive the life of God. The dry bone of barrenness, receive the life of God. The dry bone of loneliness, receive the life of God. The dry bones of my career, receive the life of God. I prophesy to you, dry bones, come alive. Declare, declare, declare. Open your mouth, speak loudly. Don't keep quiet. Dry bones, come alive. Dry bones of my finances, come alive. Dry bones, dry bones, dry bones, come alive. Come alive now, come alive now. Dry bones, come alive. Come alive now. Dry bones, come alive. Come alive now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Begin to bring your prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now hold the hand of somebody beside you. One to one. You begin to prophesy. Like Job 42 verse 10. What on the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend? I decree every dry bone in the life of this, my brother, come alive. Beginning from now, now, now. Dry bone, hear the word of the Lord. Come alive. Dry bones. Come alive. Dry bone. Come alive. Dry bone. Come alive. Dry bone. Come alive. Dry bones. Decree. Decree. Decree it. Decree it. Whatever represents dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Whatever represents hopelessness, hear the word of the Lord. Whatever represents fear, hear the word of the Lord. Whatever represents depression, hear the word of the Lord. Come alive now. 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 Dry bones, come alive. Begin to bring your prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. You will pray. Say, Father, within the next 14 days, from today to the end of this year, whatever represents dry bones in the life of this, my sister, move upon it. Let every dry bones come alive totally, completely, in the name of Jesus. Can you pray that prayer? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You will pray one more prayer for that your partner. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, by your resurrection power, let this my sister come alive to live indeed, to stand on her feet and become a vital part of your end time army. Oh God, make this my sister a vital part of your end time army, in strength, in grace, in anointing, in the word. Make this my sister a vital part of your end time army. Can you pray that prayer? Can you pray that prayer? Pray, pray, pray seriously. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.